All right, let's get going here. And we're recording, correct, Danielle? So welcome, everyone. This is the regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Safety and Transportation Committee. It is Wednesday, December 8th. Present at the start of the meeting, I have Vice Chair Chris Markowitz, Councillor Oliver from Ward 1, Councillor Lucas from Ward 2, Councillor Bowman from Ward 6, Councillor Lipoff from Ward 8. Also on this virtual meeting are Sergeant Wade and O'Malley from Ward 3, Wade and Carmichael. And Maura O'Keefe from the Law Department. Oh, Councillor Grossman. So from Ward 7. So we're almost, if not completely, a full committee. I'm Andrea Downs. I'm the chair from Ward 5. So Danielle, shall we take the bus licenses in one tranche and taxi and public
There's
autos?
Only one bus license, the first item, that's it.
Okay, so we'll do the bus item and then we'll go into the taxi and public auto ones together.
Yes, and Sergeant Wade's here for all of them, and also Tom Ayling. He's the operations manager of VPNE Parking Solutions. He's with us also.
Excellent. Thank you both for joining us. So the first item is 42521, VPNE Parking Solutions, LLC, requesting biennial renewal of one bus license for LaSalle University. No changes proposed from the 2019 license. Shall I get a motion first to approve?
So moved.
And then we'll discuss. Okay, we have a motion to approve from Councillor Markowitz. Sergeant Wade, is everything in order?
Everything is in order on our end. The buses that they presented to us passed inspection. There were two that were out of service. And I've been recently told that they will contact me when they're ready for inspection.
Okay, perfect. Any discussion?
I just have one question, Chair. Are we going to ask about electrification as we do these for the buses, or are we already satisfied that people are working on it and can't get there yet?
I was going to talk about that. But...
Cool.
Go
Feel
ahead,
free.
Councillor Bowman.
I yield to the Councillor Bowman.
Excellent. So thank you. I was just checking, Mr. Allen, because I know that we had somebody from VPN on a different college license, but I didn't think it was you. Do I understand that we've looking at now Joseph Davis, who is also from VPN eSolutions. So what we are hoping to do, and starting with the new term, and so I'll have to add you to our, hopefully to our list, is the other shuttle operators, we have asked them to start thinking about how they are going to transition to an electric bus fleet, because clearly at some point in the future, I'm just going to move someplace where we can be a little quieter. At some point in the coming future, this is what we're going for.
Councillor Bowman, you're freezing on us. I suspect you're moving to a worse part of your house. Councillor Bowman, you broke up there.
Can you hear me now? Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Okay,
and I think
sorry
we got just to what you were saying. So we do want to eventually.
Yeah. So
to
basically,
all
we would
electric.
Like to. So the goal should be moving to all electric. We would invite you to become part of a roundtable to discuss how we could help partner and get this moving for all of the shuttle operators in Newton. So we understand it's not a goal that we can ask you to do today, because the technology, it takes planning and technology, changes, but so that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for the opportunity to have that. And hopefully we can make it happen over the, you know, in the near future. But it's a cost. It's a supply issue. They just don't really, for our, you know, we run these little 14 passenger shuttles. There's just not a lot of access right now. You know, above cost, they just don't really exist right now in our industry. So
I was very encouraged. I participate in a lot of webinars, and one going on right now is being held by MassDOT, and they had a speaker from UCLA who is in the process of replacing every diesel vehicle they have in their fleet. And they were going through how they were laying out their different options. And of course, much more locally, we have Harvard University that is committed to do the same. They run much bigger buses, but UCLA was an interesting opportunity, and the director of transportation there agreed to talk to me. So maybe I can get him to speak to the whole roundtable about how they have handled things, because they run a variety of smaller buses, that 14, you know, 10, 14 up to, you know, the big 60 person bus. So again, all we're asking you to do is just is agree to hopefully participate in a process to just start the conversation. And we understand it's a long road, and I think we'll do better if we all work together on that.
Yeah. Thank you. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
All right. Now, Mr. Ayling, if you will get in touch with Councillor Bowman, any further discussion?
Sure.
All right. All in favor? Say aye.
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 Any nays? Any abstentions? Okay, I think that's a unanimous vote. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think that's 8.
Yes, that's 8.
Okay. Next item. I'm going to take all these together.
Just the next three taxis.
Just the next three? Okay. All the taxis together.
Yes.
Thank you. Number 42621, George Mary, 50 Union Street, Union Center, Mass, requesting renewal of one taxi license for Holden's. 42721, two taxi licenses for Newtonville. And 42821, one taxi license for Newton Taxi Company. That's all the same proprietor and same address.
Sergeant Wade again.
Sergeant Wade, all in order?
Yes, the three taxis were recently inspected. There's a 2011s and 2012. One of my officers did inspect them, and they all passed inspection either the last week or the week before.
Excellent. Thank you. Any discussion?
Motion.
All right. I will take a motion.
I'll move approval.
I'll move.
Yeah. Motion to approve by Councillor Grossman. All in favor, say aye.
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 That was
okay,
6.
Okay. Any nays? 6. Okay. Any nays? Any abstentions? No. Okay. So 6-0?
Yes.
All right. And you're recommending.
Sorry, I was on mute.
Oh, okay.
Walking a dog. I'm dog sitting.
Okay. So that's 7-0. Council Lipoff not
I
voting.
I'm an I as well, if you want to know.
Okay. 8-0. Everybody.
Well, no, Councilor Bowman's no longer on the call. So it is 7-0.
7-0.
Okay, great. So how would you recommend Danielle going forward with the next one altogether?
All the public autos together, yes.
Okay. I'm going to take all the public auto license renewals together. That's 42921. Dhanraj Mahazi, 275 Grove Street, requesting renewal of one public auto license for Mahazi Livery Services, LLC. 43021, Donald LaPlante, 395 Lexington Street, requesting renewal of one public auto license for Don's Car Service. 43121 Michael Gimelfarb, 274 Dedham Street, requesting renewal of one public auto license for American Truck and Equipment Sales, LLC. 43221 Noel Diaz, 46 Central Avenue, Newtonville, requesting renewal of one public auto license for Newton Limos Company, LLC. 43321 requesting renewal, Ismael Uncock, 184 River Street, requesting renewal of one public auto license for Ismo Limo, LLC. 43421 Rajiv Kumar, 2323 Washington Street, requesting renewal of one public auto license for OMSI Enterprises, Inc. 43521 Lassine Belhouchet, 32 Adams Street, for Boston Cool Ride Limo, Inc. So that's all of those public auto licenses. Sergeant Wade, are these all in order?
Those are all in order. Those were, most of those were inspected in April of this year. They all passed. A couple of them were in June. And Newton Limo was inspected in November. They all passed our inspection with documentation in hand here.
Excellent. Do I have a motion?
So move.
Excuse me, Chair Downs, I have a question real quick.
Of course.
It was, because it's two doors down from my house, 46 Central Ave, 43221. They're not operating out of 46 Central Ave. That's just the address of the applicant, correct?
I can't answer that. Do you know, Clark Delaney?
That's the answer that they put on the application. It doesn't say if it's a business. Let me look. What's the number again? Sorry.
432-21.
It's 46 Central Avenue.
It's a limo.
Business address is 46 Central Ave.
So, yeah, he's operating out of 46 Central Ave. And I think for auto license, public auto licenses, people garage them at their homes. And we've allowed that as long as it's not a huge amount.
Right. They have a business automobiles. They have a business certificate.
Okay. All right. Just walk past it 1,000 times. It's a regular house. I've never.
And they could garage it. They could garage it someplace else. Sometimes some of these limo drivers have multiple drivers. That's just where the business address is.
That's fine. I mean, there is a garage in the back, but yeah, that's nothing. That's all. I was just wondering.
A number of us run businesses from our homes, and our neighbors have no idea.
And the public autos are not. They don't look like a taxi. They look like a regular vehicle without all that writing on the side.
That's right. Yeah. Okay.
All right. I have a motion from Vice Chair Markowitz. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any nays? Any abstentions? Okay, I think that was unanimous again, and I think that was 8-0.
8-0.
Mm-hmm. All right, our next item, 43621, requesting to amend city ordinance for expanding overnight permits in municipal lots. Councilors Bowman, Downs, Lucas, Greenberg, and Danberg requesting that city ordinance chapter 19-200C, Parens 4, resident sticker and visitor permit, municipal lot parking program be reviewed, including current enforcement and potential changes to the effective daily time of overnight permits for municipal lots to be changed from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. to all hours that parking meters are not in operation. Councillor Bowman, do you want to explain this one, please?
Sure. So the current language, I don't know if it makes sense to put up either the red line document that we got from Attorney Lee or something else, but currently the ordinance regarding the overnight permits that residents can get for free from the police department and park in the municipal lots during the winter parking ban, but not during a snow emergency. The ordinance says 7 to 7, and we started to hear from residents, as you know, all know, your inboxes are filled with letters from residents about the overnight parking ban. I started to think about the people I heard from who thought they actually had to get up and move their car before 7 a.m. or it might be towed. And so in just conferring with David Kosis and the legal department and the police department, we confirmed that this is not the case, that actually, legally and just practice wise, someone could park, you know, could park a vehicle, you know, if it's a, say, a 3-hour parking limit in some, you could park and you could pay the meter, or if it's just a 3-hour as it is in Nonantum, it's just a 3-hour limit. You could park 3 hours before 6 p.m., which is when enforcement stops, and you could stay in the lot until 11 a.m. and not risk getting a ticket. So all we really wanted to do is just make that clear, because I think the permits were being released telling people they could only park as soon as 7 p.m. and had to leave by 7 a.m. And you know, it's not a huge fix, but I think it just makes it cleaner and it relieves a little bit of stress for just a few people and you know, before we get a chance to consider sort of the broader implications of the overnight winter parking ban and what other accommodations might be made. I think this is just a pretty simple one. I think longer term, Councillor Downs or others might want to speak to the fact that we realized in reading this language, this is definitely a section of the ordinances that needs some cleaning up. There's lots of language and lots of things in there that don't make sense and don't pertain to what we're doing now. But this is just a simple thing that we can do now. It's not being enforced that way, 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. It's not practical. And so let's just make it clear. Does that make sense?
I had a question. You know, it's interesting you explained it that way. I actually hadn't thought of that. I thought this was just about people having to move on Sunday morning and saying to myself, well, practically speaking, they can stay there anyway because the meters aren't in effect. So it's like it sort of doesn't make, you know, it's like it already, condition already exists. But I didn't think about the fact that you've got this gap between 6 and 7. So that's really the crux of this, right? That's the most important part.
Yeah, the 6 and 7 and then the 7 a.m. Like people really thought they were like, I've got two babies. How do I get out at 7 a.m. and move my car? First of all, nobody's ticketing at you. Nobody's looking for you at 7 a.m. But I think just making it clear in the language and the police, I should say that, Andrea, can you share that the document that we got from Attorney Lee? I think that would make it clear.
Yeah, let me see if I can pull that up.
We've already, in working with Attorney Lee and the police department, we've already updated the police website to just be clearer. So, in the process, so that's super quick on the web. That's done.
How many stickers are out there for this type of program? Any idea?
So Sergeant Wade knows.
Sergeant Wade.
There's over 50 because between last Tuesday and today, I think we've issued 55, and I know more were done in the weeks prior.
All right, that's fine. I just thought I was that, you know, that's a small number to Councillor Bowman's point. It's not a lot.
There's well over 50 that have been issued.
But there'll be more, right? Do you know how many we issued in prior years?
I don't off the top of my head. I could check tomorrow, but I don't.
Yeah. And it's different by different. You know, they're issued for a particular lot, so their rules are different. But
I don't think many were issued last year because there was no winter parking ban last year.
Oh, that's right. Last year we wouldn't have needed that.
Right. Okay. So I don't think
2 years ago, last year. Pre-COVID.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so, part of the issue was also how it was communicated on the various websites, and that has been changed. So I'm going to share my screen. Hopefully this works.
Hmm.
Okay, let's see if this works. Does that work? No. Okay, stop that. Let me see if I can do this. Share content. Nope.
Would you like me to try?
Yeah, why don't you try? I'm not able to figure out how to do that on this. Even I do this for work, but not this way. Do it on a laptop, not on my iPad.
Sure. Can I ask a question in the meantime? My hand is raised, but I don't know if you can see it against my background.
I cannot. it's not my background. It's that. It's that. That your the top of your head's knocked cut down. So tell me what. Go ahead.
Interesting. All right. Well, I'll have to straighten it out. I had two questions. The first one is I remember from previous PS&T discussions that we have one lot at least in Nonantum that has no meters. I was just wondering.
Yeah, that's correct.
I don't know if we issue overnight parking permits for that lot, but was just wondering how this language would play there. And I really hadn't thought about the Sunday thing at all, given that we only have 55 permits right now, although if I had to take a guess, I would think we would get to several hundred. I was also wondering if the fact that there is no enforcement on Sundays, if anybody anticipated this change might pose a problem for people sort of occupying a lot all day long. But it's if we've only got a small number of permits, I wouldn't imagine that's an issue. I just don't know how high the number gets.
I think they could do that anyway. Right? They could occupy the lot anyway now.
Well, I'm assuming you're talking about, I'm sorry, I'm blurting out.
Go ahead and answer, Councillor Oliver. All right.
I'm assuming you're talking about the lot on Adams. Because just kind of off the top of my head, I don't think there are meters in that lot. And I do believe that there is a sign kind of center back of that lot, that does say, overnight parking is allowed with a permit. If I recall, I'd have to bounce over there and look again, but I think that's the lot in question on Adams Street there by the Double D.
And that may be our only lot that is, I know in Waubun we've got some spaces that are unmetered that is regularly referenced, but I don't think those are off.
It's not a municipal lot.
So those spaces don't get used in this case, right? It's literally just off street lots.
It has to be a municipal lot, not a T lot, not a library lot, not a school lot. Those are counted differently. So we're looking at the public parking lots, and most of those are metered with the exception of Adams Street. We did talk about that with Mr. Lee and with Mr. Kozis and Captain Bedreau. And Mr. Lee believes that this language will cover it, as well as clarifications on the website. The idea here, just making it very clear that when you buy that overnight parking sticker and you park in a municipal lot, that waives the overnight parking ban for that lot. And that after that, the regular parking restrictions apply. However, from the end of the ban until when the meters come into effect, or when they start measuring when those, when the time limit starts on Adams Street, is about 8 a.m. actually.
Does the lot on Adams Street say 2 hours or something like that?
I believe it's a 1 hour limit.
Yeah.
No, three.
Got it. So essentially what the net effect of this and that lot would be, someone could theoretically stay there until 8 o'clock or whatever. I don't know what time that comes.
Well, they would
9 o'clock.
Right. They could stay until the 1 hour meter, the 1 hour restriction comes into effect, which Realistically, it's about 8 in the morning. So they probably could get away with it until 8:30.
Well, if others aren't worried about it, then I won't worry about it. It just occurred to me that the language would affect that spot differently. But otherwise, I think this makes a ton of sense.
Okay. I have Councillor Lucas and then Councillor Markowitz. Thank you.
Thanks. Real quick, what are we looking at right now?
Sorry.
Forgive me.
We're looking
sorry,
at...
Sorry, I forgot I was sharing screen. There you go. I was trying to look up Adam Street because I think it's 3 hours, but that's okay.
It is 3 hours, yeah.
There you go.
I have a question not related to Councillor Bowman's web browser. Sorry. This visitor parking and residential sticker in employee of residential sticker in municipal lots, this permit, if there is a snow emergency in effect, they still have to move their cars. Is that correct? Everyone's shaking their head. Okay. All right. Do we know, just out of curiosity, where do cars normally go when this happens, when we do get a snow emergency?
Most people make arrangements for storing their cars at off street for that period. Some people, you know, there are any number of lots that you can pay for that are covered, that you can, it's not convenient, it's not easy, but it's possible.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Councillor Markowitz.
Yeah, just quickly. So I sort of had the same question that Councillor Grossman had about getting parked out. But again, I don't, it's not happening now. I can't see it. I think the other thing that's good about this, though, is that since now we have the meters that we can reconfigure hours on, they will automatically be in compliance. You know, if we had that hard 7 to 7 and you actually decided to change the time of meter impact, you'd have to go and modify these signs. So this gives us another kind of sort of backhand flexibility that just seems to be efficient.
Yeah. But as Councillor Bowman noted, this entire section was created for a very different time in Newton. And if you read it very closely, you realize we don't do any of those things anymore. And we need to rewrite this whole thing.
We've done a lot of that. I mean, this committee has chipped away and Mr. Coase's has also, I mean, how often do we see in traffic council that he's just cleaning up language? No impact. This is just English, where in the past it wasn't, in addition to the outdated practices. So yeah, it's good to do this stuff. Cool. Thanks.
Okay, great. Any other discussion? Councillor Bowman, I think you can take that down if we don't.
Sure. So just wanted to make it clear. So this is the language change. We're taking out the hours, except just saying it's effective in that. And then, you know, again, cleaned up the language on the websites. So.
And both the Traffic Bureau website and the Newton the Police Traffic Bureau website have been updated.
Yes.
Okay. So that's clear. All right. If there's no other discussion, do we have a motion on the floor?
Motion to approve.
All right. All in favor? Please say aye.
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 Okay. I think that's any nays?
The dog voted yes too, I think.
Okay. No, the dog was a nay. Any abstentions? All right. That's unanimous from the committee. One nay from the dog. All right. That takes us to our final item of the evening, and then you can go fight other things. 188-21, Councillors Crinsman, Danberg, Downs, Kalis, Laredo, Crossley, Wright, Noel, Bowman, Humphrey, Grossman, Lipoff, and Markowitz, requesting an ordinance that would limit the number of licenses to firearm dealers, gunsmithing, and or firing range licenses that may be awarded. And colleagues, we had the language or attached to the agenda. It's the very last page. Spare our clerk from having to call it up. Do we have anyone here who's presenting? Does anyone want to present this? And we had Ms. O'Keefe on briefly. Let me just send Josh a quick text asking if he wants to come in.
And I don't know if I'm the only one, but I think I missed a good chunk of that audio from Councilor Downs there, Chair Downs.
I'm sorry.
No, you were just dropping in and out a little bit there. I don't know if I missed anything pertinent, but it was, you froze there for a while.
I read the docket item, 188-21, a lot of names, including many people on the committee requesting an ordinance that would limit the number of licenses to firearm dealers, gunsmithing, and or firing range licenses that may be awarded. Is there, Ms. O'Keefe, are you here to present this?
I'm here to answer questions about the docket item.
Okay, let's start with that. Councilor Crinsman may drop in shortly. Okay, he is not going to be able to join us. I've got a question here. Councilor Grossman.
So even though I'm a co-doctor on this item, I was not involved in the drafting. I just wondered if Ms. O'Keefe might kind of hit the highlights of the effect here and what it will achieve and any pitfalls that you dealt with in coming up with the language, with thanks to you for working on it and getting it in front of us.
Sure. Could the ordinance, the draft ordinance, be put on the screen so everyone can see it?
I can't do that. I've already figured that out, but perhaps our clerk can.
I can't either.
Okay, sorry. perhaps you can, Ms. O'Keefe. It's at the end of our agenda if you have that on your computer.
I have a bunch of confidential information on my computer. I don't feel comfortable sharing my screen.
Fair enough.
Try it if you'd like, Chair.
Okay.
Fair enough. Go over here. Excuse me. I haven't done this like in forever, so
it'll just be easier if we can walk through it. Thank you very much. Okay, so as you'll see, this was one of the first things that was drafted when we started down this road of gun control. This and the other ordinance that was recently passed about prohibiting guns in certain public spaces were drafted even before we tackled the zoning ordinance. So this particular ordinance was meant actually as an option instead of the zoning ordinance, because it really has the same effect. What this does is it limits the ability of the police chief to issue more than one firearms license, any business license related to the commercial aspect of firearms within the city of Newton. The current zoning ordinance that was successfully passed a few months ago has the same impact. So this was meant as an alternative. It can still be enacted, however. It doesn't clash with the current zoning ordinance because this really deals with the licensing scheme itself instead of the regular zoning controls that you find in your typical zoning enactment. So this speaks directly to the license to sell, rent, or lease firearms, limitations on gunsmithing, which go hand in hand. You'll almost always find that a license to sell goes with a gunsmithing license, and then also the sale of ammunition. And again, that's a license that typically goes with a license to sell. You rarely find just a unique gunsmithing license or a gunsmithing license to sell. So There are a couple of pitfalls, and I'm glad that you asked the question the way that you did, Councillor Grossman, because I do feel that it's important for the councillors to understand that, and we've all had these conversations about gun control all along. So I know that all of you know that this is a little bit of a precarious subject as far as it being subject to challenge. This ordinance, just like any other ordinance that limits the Second Amendment, is subject to challenge. So I do feel responsible to tell you that. However, this is crafted in such a way that it's not an absolute ban, because it does allow the chief to issue one license. An absolute ban, as the law department has said consistently throughout this journey, an absolute ban on any Second Amendment right is not going to fly, and it is it will be struck down if challenged. But this isn't an absolute ban. So while it is on questionable legal ground, I will say that bluntly, it's defensible. It is defensible if challenged. I have reviewed this with other gun control experts across the state, across the country. They all bring up the same concerns that I share, that again, it is subject to challenge, but they agree that there's certainly an avenue where there's legal footing to defend it.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Lucas, you have a question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a lot of questions regarding to this. I remember when this was being sent around for co-docketers back in the spring, when we were discussing the gun store zoning and ban and that whole debate back in the spring. And I remember this thing popping up, and I was concerned about if this was unconstitutional. Is this constitutional? And I think, Ms. O'Keefe, you've kind of answered that question already, and that was going to be one of my questions. You say that it's probably constitutional and it might be challenged, but it's something that you would be capable of winning in a court. Is that correct? Am I hearing that?
I would say that it is, the constitutionality of this ordinance is unsettled. And I don't know if challenged whether the city would win, but I know that the city could put on a solid defense for this ordinance, where I could go into a courtroom and feel good about looking a judge in the face and defending this ordinance, whereas I couldn't do that with an absolute ban.
Excuse me just for a minute. Danielle, Councillor Crinsman is waiting to get in.
I'm here.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Can I go?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So my next question is, how many other cities and towns in Massachusetts have passed an ordinance like this? And has it, to the best of your knowledge, has it been challenged?
I'm not aware of any other municipality that has an ordinance like this. This was part of an effort from the law department to respond to the acute concerns coming from the city council about what can be done. How do we confront the challenge of gun control? And so we in the law department put our thinking caps on and tried to come up with creative solutions that still worked within the statutory framework. This was one of those creative solutions. I don't know of any other ordinance like this anywhere in the United States. And so I'm also therefore not subject, I am not aware of any challenges to it in this kind of thing. Usually limitations on licenses come in the form of zoning. because zoning has the same impact or a similar impact to limit the number of commercial licenses or commercial businesses that can operate in certain areas. But with this ordinance, the law departments come at the problem from a different angle and looked at the licensing, statutory licensing framework in the general laws at chapter 140. And we are positing that it might be possible to limit it from the licensing side of it instead of the zoning aspect.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I have two more questions. And an ordinance like this, considering that we do not have any gun manufacturers, gun smithing, or gun stores in Newton right now, we don't have to pass this ordinance this term, correct? We could pass it next year, 5 years from now, correct? Like, this doesn't have to happen today, right?
That's true. And the reason why it doesn't need to happen today is because of the great work that the city council did with the zoning ordinance, that there is a license issued already, but it currently has no place to be operated. Right. One of the aspects of the licensing scheme is one of the first questions that has to be answered by the police chief when an application comes in is the chief has to look to see where the proposed business is going to go. And the chief's office will then evaluate the validity of that particular address and that location to see if it is suitable to operate the business. Here, if an application came in, the chief would first and foremost need to look at the zoning ordinance to see where it could go. Because of the way the zoning ordinance is written, I think it's doubtful that there could be more than one business in the city anyway. So as we stand now, this ordinance is really a belt and suspenders. However, I will note that while this might not be necessary today, as we know, development happens. It happens quickly. And maybe the zoning ordinance doesn't keep a pace with development. And so that could impact the ability of a firearms business to come in, a second firearms business to come into Newton under the zoning code. This would put a definitive cap on the license.
Got it. And then my last question is, if we were to approve this and the ordinance goes into effect, and it is challenged in a court, state or federal, would our zoning ordinance also be put in jeopardy in a potential lawsuit?
That's a difficult question to answer. It's interesting, though. I think the zoning ordinance can always be subject to challenge, no matter what. And that's not any sort of commentary about the validity of the ordinance at all. It's more a comment on just the fact that anyone can sue for anything whenever they want to. If someone were to challenge this particular ordinance, the license cap, that would be strategy, whether they want to envelop the zoning ordinance in with it. There's certainly nothing stopping someone from doing that, but I don't think that I think that independently, the zoning ordinance and this ordinance have their own legal footing.
Okay. All right.
So it's a non-answer, but I did my best to answer it.
Yeah.
Like a lawyer.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. That's all I have for right now.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you, Councillor Lucas. Very interesting questions. I don't see other hands up, so I would like to just
You have two.
I have two. Okay, I'm not seeing them. I'm sorry. Councillor Krinsman, why don't you go first because you have another committee to chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and also because I'm more important than Councillor Lippa, so I appreciate that.
It's all seniority.
I kid. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, and thank you for taking up this item. I obviously missed the beginning of the discussion, so I'm not going to speak too involved because I assume you had a good portion of the discussion. I will say that when I joined, you were talking about the constitutionality, and I heard Mara talking about the comfort, the city's comfort of defending this from a constitutional perspective. One of the things that led to me proposing this, the genesis of this, was a desire, I think, like many of us, to be as restrictive as possible with the proliferation of guns in our community. And we, a number of us, I will speak for myself here, felt uncomfortable with a ban, with a prohibition. We felt that that was not going to be constitutionally defensible. But there is a legally significant difference between a ban and one license. And the thinking behind this was that if we offered one license, or if there were ever a license, that we could preemptively and proactively limit this to that being the only license, that we wouldn't then open it up to additional licenses at that point. I will say that as a number of folks have pointed out, we have limited availability at the moment. There is zoning in place that gives me great comfort because it significantly limits the opportunities across the city where a gun store can open. But that is simply a snapshot in time. It is a function of the uses that are currently in place across the city. It is buffer zones around those uses. So as those uses, the current uses in the city across all of our parcels evolve and change, that also changes the dynamics of the map for where a gun store could potentially open. So lastly, I'll point out that in an effort to not react against a second proposal, and at that point say, no, that's not something we like, that's not something we support, let's quickly pass some zoning that limits to one license, I think we're better served by limiting the number of licenses to one at this point. My hope is that no license is ever provided for a gun store to open in Newton, but if it should, I would take some comfort in knowing that it would be the only one. So that's my way of saying I hope that you support this, and I thank you all for your time.
Thank you very much, Councillor Krinsman. As a co-docketor, I also felt that this was, as Ms. O'Keefe said, a belt and suspenders method, not an entire substitute for zoning. All right, I have Councillor Lipoff.
Okay, my name is on this. I could vote for it just fine. I do want to say that, you know, as part of the narrative getting us to the zoning that we have in place to take care of gun stores, that I signed on to this because there were a bunch of things we were trying to throw against the wall and see what stuck, kind of, as we progressed. And I think that if this was NAN today, I would be fine with it because I truly believe that we have something in place that is less an issue to be challenged than this ordinance in front of us. I feel like in the moment it was a good thing to do, but the best thing prevailed, which was to put zoning in place. That's why we didn't really act on this. And I appreciated Councillor Lucas's... Sorry, everybody. I appreciate the Councillor Lucas's... question as to, you know, could we bank this and use it in the future? You know, I'd like to understand if we could, you know, if we NAN it, can we bring it back at any time? I just don't think it's necessary. As I said, if everybody wants to vote for it, I don't see a problem. But to put anything out there that is challengeable against the Second Amendment, against the Constitution, I just think that, you know, we search for something that was grounded legally, and I think we came up with it. So I find this as an add-on. I would vote for it. I don't think it's necessary. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Councillor Lipoff. So to that question, Ms. O'Keefe, is this more risky than what we currently have in place, or is it similar? Is it just a belt and suspenders?
The risk with this particular ordinance is the unknown, because it is a unique take on an attempt to regulate firearms at the municipal level. I don't know what to say about what a challenge would look like. While I'm confident about the law department's ability to mount a reasonable defense, we know exactly what to do when the zoning ordinance is challenged, because there are numerous cases out there already that have created a pathway and a map for litigation. I don't know what would happen here. I know that putting a cap at one is risky. I know that if the cap were greater, the chance of being able to defend it successfully increases, but then the purpose of the ordinance lessens. And I also know that completely prohibiting the chief from issuing any licenses is just a non-starter. This ordinance can be brought back later at any time, and does not need to be enacted right now. But it can live successfully alongside the zoning ordinance as well.
Thank you. Chief Carmichael, I see your hand is up, and since you haven't spoken yet, I'd like to start with you. I was going to ask you to weigh in anyway, so you'll need to unmute though.
Hi, everybody. Thank you. Just one issue. I see this is mentioning Chapter 141.21. Also included in this is Chapter 140.122B, which is the sale of ammunition licenses. One of the issues is that Mara was mentioning, they have to have a location. So when they apply for a dealer's license, they have to have a building that would be in the city that they would have had to occupy in order to even apply for the license. But any person applying for a firearms license, whether it's a license to carry or even a dealer's license or a license to sell ammunition, there's a section in the law that allows them to appeal that. I don't know if Mara's addressed that yet, but if they apply for the license and I, as the chief, deny that that license, that they can go in front of a judicial review within 30 days. So I'm not sure how that, I'm sure this will be part of that appeal process if it occurred, but I just figured I would mention that.
Okay, thank you.
I'll just add that is exactly how this challenge would, that's how it would look like. It would come from a denial of one of these licenses. And so the challenge to the ordinance would make its way through the courts as a result of that denial.
Okay. Thank you. That's good to know. Councilor Crispin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I appreciate the timing of calling on me, because it's on that very topic that Mara and the chief just spoke about, which is, I don't want to get too legal here, but on the concept of either standing or the ripeness of a controversy, am I correct, Ms. O'Keefe, that this would be challenged if and when someone applies for a second license is denied because it is a second license? And that is when someone could challenge this component of the zoning code, and potentially not before then. And I say that, well, let me let you answer that question if you don't mind.
Standing is a really interesting question. as far as bringing suit for this ordinance. It would be a hurdle for anyone to maintain a lawsuit, not just for this ordinance, but also standing is always a problem for the zoning ordinance too. That is a problem for any commercial, any challenge to commercial, the commercial business of firearms license, because not everyone has the right to bring that kind of lawsuit.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I think that's the answer I thought, which is that someone could challenge this again if a license is granted and they've applied for a second license and been rejected for a second license, that then gives them the right to challenge this. And I say that because my hesitancy in waiting is that if we wait until a license is granted, it appears differently, I think, from a legal perspective and certainly from an intent perspective of how we're acting, that it could be that we are seeking to prohibit a particular gun store owner from opening in a particular location or something to that effect. I think passing the ordinance now shows that we are trying to limit this to one, if and ever there is one passed. And then we have, as folks have said, the belt and suspenders protection in place. And if there's, you know, to be a controversy, it would come at that point. And we can obviously continue to evaluate this as the landscape evolves across the country with the additional zoning protection in place would be my preference. Yeah. Thank you. I'll stop. And I apologize if I leave, but I'm chairing programs and services over there. So if I
all right. Go back to it. Do I have any further discussion? Councillor Grossman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to express my opinion that I would like to pass this and proceed with it. I think Councillor Krinsman spoke very eloquently about all the reasons why. To my mind, if there's another avenue that we can take to protect our community from the proliferation of guns and gun violence, I'm all for it. To my mind, the worst that happens is there's a legal challenge and we have that process go forward and put up the best defense we can. And the worst that happens is that it's invalidated. I guess the only question, Ms. O'Keefe, for you, you mentioned strategy of whether or not a challenge then would loop in the zoning question as well. Whether or not that's a risk, I suppose, is the question, though. In my mind, anybody who's looking to pick a fight and cause a challenge is going to look for whatever avenues they can anyway. So, you know, for us to have more than one possible legal protection to hang our hat on, I think is only a good thing. And I would much rather, you know, go for it, make our statement, be proactive, you know, than wait, have a problem, and then make it look like we're really trying to single out one individual or one business or one whatever in passing something in a really, you know, rushed way down the line.
Thank you. Ms. O'Keefe?
I don't have any comment on,
okay.
On Councilor Grossman's.
All right, fair enough. So do we have a motion?
I would move approval.
Okay, we have a motion to approve from Councillor Grossman. Any further discussion? All right, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Any
no.
Abstention? Maybe we have a no from Councillor Lucas.
And I'm a no.
Oh, and Councillor Oliver.
Thank you.
All right, any abstentions?
I'm abstaining.
Okay. So it's 5-2-1. Am I right in my counting? And I will.
That's correct.
Okay. So that's the end of our agenda. And I will take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Night.
Thank you.
Good night.